So now that the microphone's on, all right. So when I was in high school, I was in theater, and the auditorium we had sat 750 people. It was pretty big. And so I was taught to bounce my voice off the back of the auditorium. Nowadays, the kids wear headphones like these, the little microphone stuck in there, and it looks very silly. We had to actually project. So, before I get started, I should let you all know that I had a real problem with jet lag last night and got almost no sleep. On the plus side, I got the slides done. That's a good thing because I didn't have them done until 4 o'clock this morning. On the minus side, well, actually, they're. Oh yeah, sorry. All right. SMB offload engine. Quick stuff. I've been with the Samba team for 20 plus years. I am now the file system overlord, director of engineering for file systems at Tintree by DDN. Tintree's been around for, 13 years, but there was a near-death experience, and DDN bought Tintree up, and the company is still going, and I have been asked to take over file system duties. The opinions expressed are my own and not necessarily those of my employer, my colleagues, my spouse, my spirit familiar, the internet voices, the monster in the closet, or that guy. That's a disclaimer. I will point out that I submitted this talk before I was working for Tintree, after I left my previous job. Most of the ideas in here were in the month between jobs. I come from Minnesota in the USA. I live there all year round. Cycling weather, obviously. And I left this page blank, intentionally, just to give myself a chance to kind of give you an idea of what I'm after here. I've been toying with a number of ideas for the last several years, not had much of an opportunity to put them into practice. And what I was able to do in that 1 month period between leaving my previous employer and starting with my new was sit down and kind of come up with some ideas of what I was truly trying to do. I've written a number of things, gotten them half done, didn't go any further. Where was I going with that? And I think it's relevant to some of what we've heard today. You know, Jeremy just said in his last talk a moment ago that one of the things we've got to do is pull all of SMB1 out of Samba, except that Samba is an SMB1 implementation with SMB2 added later. So that's a bit of a trick to try to pull that old stuff out. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm very interested to see. I'll also tell you, based on what I had in mind to do here, when I saw what was following me, a new kernel implementation of an SMB server for Linux, that's something that we've seen it before. Obviously, the Windows SMB server is inside the kernel. Nexenta inherited from Sun an in-kernel SMB server, and it is not a foreign idea to some of us who have been working on Samba for years. There are pluses and minuses to it, and hopefully what I have here to present will give you an idea of other ways to approach some of the problems that we face. So the first question I'm going to ask, why are you all here? What are you doing? I mean, is this SMB stuff, is it still even relevant? I mean, it's how old? 80s? Technology moves so fast, right? So if we weren't here, what would we do? Retire Samba? Go home? Meet our family? Remember those people? Or meet our families? What would replace SMB if we didn't have SMB and NFS, for that matter? What would replace it? Is there a plan? Well, I've been kind of keeping my eye on a number of things that are going on. There are a lot of file systems being developed out there. People are playing with ideas. I've got a few crazy ideas that I've toyed with, experiments that I've done. Don't have any code to share with you on it, but I've tried a few things to see what would happen if. And perhaps something in that pile of development from me and others and others and me, something perhaps will fly. I'd bring up things like Dropbox and Google Drive. Novell had one out several years ago. I mean, 15 years ago, they had a very similar idea where there was storage on this machine and that machine that you owned. And instead of having storage, additional storage in the cloud, they simply synced across the internet. They didn't store anything on the backup server. But these ideas have been around for a while, and some of them are very interesting, especially nowadays when we are moving more and more toward a cell phone, Wi-Fi, lower speed communication, less reliable kind of a world. A few years back, Jeremy got a last minute request to do a keynote at the Storage Developer Conference in Santa Clara. Somebody who was going to do the keynote had to cancel, problem of some sort, and Jeremy was the obvious person to pick. And he started off his presentation by pointing out how many new file systems were coming out and how they were special purpose being used for things like Hadoop and other environments where, you know, file systems, you know, weren't behaving the way that we expect them to. And in his presentation, the big question that Jeremy raised and answered was, he said, are we dinosaurs working on this old stuff? And the answer he came up with, yeah, sure. That's okay. Dinosaurs lasted millions of years, right? All right. Longer than we probably will. Another thing that happened a couple of years ago was that I went to a local conference. I live, again, in Minnesota, in the USA, and we had a conference locally run by something called the Computational Measurement Group. And they had somebody come in, first speaker, come in from, he did a lot of government contracting. So he was based in Washington, D.C., did a lot of U.S. government contracting. And his whole talk was about, gotta be POSIX. Forget all the rest of the stuff, you gotta have POSIX. If you don't have POSIX, you're not gonna interoperate with most of the world. Why would you bother writing anything that wasn't POSIX? And then he said, and I gotta catch a plane, so I'm gonna leave. And he left. And I'm the next one up. So I go to the front, right? I get to the front of the room and I look at all these people and say, hey, that was an interesting speech before that. The talk just before, he said, if you weren't doing, how many people here use Windows? And more than half the room raised their hand and said, that's not POSIX, is it? Right? That's why we do all the stuff we do. Much of what we do is a Windows semantics to POSIX semantics and back again translation system. A lot of what we do. And what was really, really interesting to me, because I got the opportunity several years ago, Tom can groan about this, I got the opportunity to work with Microsoft and it involved looking at the source code. And the biggest thing that surprised me when I looked at the SMB source code in Windows was how much of it was dedicated to semantic translation from DOS and OS 2 into Windows, modern Windows, and back again. So they were doing the same thing we have to do, except that they were dealing with legacy DOS and OS 2 semantics on top of Windows NT. And that was one of the great things, by the way, about Windows, about SMB 2, is with SMB 2, they said, you know, we're not going to support that anymore. And all of the DOS and OS 2 stuff went away. And we don't have to deal with it anymore. Really trims things down quite a bit. So SMB is not dead. It's everywhere still. And it's going in more places. It's too much pain to switch at this point. And besides, it works, you know? So the real question I have in mind is, how do we move forward? All right? I think what Jeremy was getting at is that in many ways, the Samba we have today is a fantastic tool, particularly for supporting legacy installations. A couple of years ago, we had a couple of people come on the Samba technical mailing list and say, hey, I need help. It's not working with my OS2 anymore, right? So even Samba is dealing with OS2, and we still do. I've had questions from all sorts of people from all sorts of different perspectives wanting to make Samba work in their environment. It was just a few years ago when we removed support for the very earliest form of DOS, the first SMB implementations, PC DOS implementations. So, you know, for dealing with legacy, we're doing a great job. If you remember when back 20 years now, when the switch came from Windows NT to Windows 2000, Samba was in a fantastic position because in the Samba team, we were still supporting NT domain. And there were so many users out there who did not want to switch to Active Directory. Stick with the NT domain. And for years, we provided NT domain support for those users out of Samba. Probably still some of them out there. So let's talk about the month of April. This is when I had left my previous employer and I was not yet starting with my first employer. I had a month off. And that's what it looked like. By the way, I'm trying to get you to laugh. You don't have to, but... All right. Okay, good.
If you were shoveling snow in that picture, we'd laugh.
No, my son does that for me. Sorry. But those two, that on the road, those are cyclists.
Oh, yeah.
We cycle all season in Minnesota. okay, so in April it snowed, it rained. I didn't get out on my bicycle very much because I don't have a fat tire bike, right? And that snow is no good for thin little roady tires. I was between jobs, and I decided I would spend some time cleaning up some of my old projects. Things that I had been working on, or had worked on, or given up on, whatever. I wanted to clean them up and just, you know, get my environment back in shape a little bit. And while I was doing that, I was thinking about them. I was thinking about some of the work I've done over the years. So some past projects I touched on. JSIFs. Anybody remember JSIFs? I'll talk about that a little bit. It was actually very successful. LibSIFs, that didn't go anywhere. Prequel, I started something interesting, you know, and I think we should touch on it again. And Carnival, which is something I'm actually still actively working on when time permits. So JSIFs was an SMB1 client implementation in Java, okay? JSIFs was, kind of this idea I had, and I put it up on the internet, and was working on it, and some guy came along and he said, "You idiot, I can write better Java code than that." So he took over the project, and I helped him with the SMB part, and he wrote better Java code. And the feedback we got was there were people using it, including manufacturers, using it in supercomputers, mid-range home appliances, and it became, for a while, the de facto toolkit for implementing SMB for Android. So a lot of the tools you have out there for accessing your SMB shares, like your file system, your file browsers on Android, they were using JSIFs. Since then, my friends at, yeah?
We will use it for automation.
Thank you very much. Very good. Thank you very much. And who are we? Right, great. Great. Well, I'm glad, you know. But I was just about to say, it's up north, in Israel is Visuality. Visuality, the company Visuality. Tal Wiederman, Sam is the owner, his son Tal runs things pretty much now. They're friends of mine. They have a commercial Java implementation that does SMB2 now. So be aware of that. And they're Israeli. I can point them out to you. They're a little weird.
I think we started using the open source alternative. I guess it's the one you talked about.
So there are a couple of, people who have taken JASIFs and spun it off and tried to bring it up to date. I don't know the status of those. Okay? Are you getting enough of this for... Yeah, okay. Sorry. I'm trying to fill in the space because he wants you to be on the microphone. So anyway, yeah, it was very successful. JASIFs was very successful. The modern replacement is a proprietary implementation by Visuality. Others may have taken the JASIFs code and built a new SMB2, SMB3 compatible client out of that. Very useful thing to have. And so it was very exciting for us to have success with that. The problem is that starting about 10 years ago, development efforts really started to drop. People lost interest. The guy who took it over from me lost interest. I moved on to other things. And that means we never got to SMB2, SMB3, and that means that right now it's really legacy code. It's not really what you want to be using. LibSIFs, many years ago I wrote a book about implementing SMB1, and in the process of doing that I had to write code, and every now and then I would clean up some of that code and put it together in a project I called LibSIFs. It never got very where. The NBT implementation, the NBT transport is an old transport that was written to adapt the NetBIOS API to TCP/IP. It's still used quite a bit in Windows. It's actually fairly complete. It says rudimentary here, but actually it's pretty complete toolkit implementation that I had in LibSIFs. And I've ported that now to Python, and I'm working on porting it to a newer version for another library, which I'll talk about at the end. A little SMB1 stuff is in there. The most useful piece is the implementation of parsing for the SMB URL format, which is something that's kind of also fallen by the wayside, although some people, like Apple, still use it. There's some encryption code for LM and NTLM. Those are old authentication mechanisms that should not be used. And every now and then I will get an inquiry from some poor computer science student saying, can you help me make your code work for my project so that I can get an A? Right? It's still out there. I still use it. I still reference it. Another one that I worked on for a while is something called Prequel. How many people have heard of branch cache? Okay, I mean, you guys have, right? Okay, we got three. All right. Branch cache under the hood is called PeerDist. I don't really understand the distinction between the names, but PeerDist is a distributed caching system. And I implemented, with help from Jose Rivera, if any of you remember him, he and I implemented version 1 PeerDist support. And we pretty much got the base server-side functionality completed. We didn't get a lot of developer interest. We didn't get a lot of people saying, ooh, I need this, help me do it, right? So again, other things became priorities and it sat by the side. However, last year, some other Samba team members contacted me and said, hey, where's that code? Can we take a look? Because they had customers who were suddenly interested in this. Now, that spark didn't light a fire, but it's something, again, I revisit this code every now and then, and I look at how I would improve it and make it more useful. Tom, earlier in his discussion, talked about a variety of things for accelerating performance. This is one way to do it, and with a proxy server, you know, this could be a very nice way to provide accelerated connectivity over wide areas. Carnival is also something I started way back when I was working at Red Hat. This is a toolkit in Python, SMB2, SMB3. It's got a splash of SMB1 just for Negotiate, and I have Echo in there for testing. The NBT toolkit is pretty well put together in there too. I'm very happy with that. I got the header parsing for SMB2 added just a couple weeks ago. The next piece I'm adding is error response messages for SMB. All right. And the idea here is that you should be able to use this Python code to very quickly build up a client or server, it does both, for testing purposes. Right, that's the goal. Right now, I'm still working at the low level, packing and parsing, but, you know, that's the goal, is to be able to, you know, build up what you need from this kit for testing. And so where does this go? So where am I aiming? What am I trying to get done? This is what I was thinking about. What is it we really need? All right? And I really do think what we need is a toolkit, Lego blocks, right? Samba is something you buy. It's the toy. It's the Roger. What is the character from Toy Story? The Buzz Lightyear, right? It's already put together. Buzz Lightyear is already put together. Sure, it has things that pop out and push back in, and you know whatever, you push the button, and it does something. But it's all put together for you. I'm looking for Lego bricks. I'm looking for building the parts and pieces that somebody else can come along and say, okay, I know enough about what I'm doing to put these together and build something that will work in my special case environment. But why? Why would I do such a thing? Right? I think one of the best ways to think of this is, you know, what would you do with a proxy server, a proxy system? You could do packet analysis. Sure, we got Wireshark. I like that. But there are a number of things you could specialize on, passing packets back and forth. You could provide a security filter, something that scrubs the SMB requests coming in and make sure the responses are correct. An actual proxy server where you're caching information, perhaps. WAN accelerator, multi-channel MUX. I talked to Metz about this a little earlier. Multi-channel MUX and an RDMA interposer. Any of this would need connectivity to WinBind, because that is our way of making sure we have the authentication information we need and can generate the keys should we need to do signing or sealing within the system. But these are the kinds of things I'm looking at. Again, gather statistics, packet flows, debugging, right? And Samba can do a lot of this part, these things. Samba can do pretty well. But why not have a toolkit that can do it? Multiple servers into one. You could, you know, again, put a front end. I've seen actually a company do this. There's a company, a startup company where I live, nearby, that built a box that basically presents itself as if it's an SMB server, but on the back end, it's talking to your NFS servers, your SMB servers, and a variety of other back end devices. Gives a single namespace without using DFS, and part of that is because you're combining different protocols to make that happen, including some, you know, local data storage on the box. You can do caching, which maybe we could go back to PeerDist and leverage that for some of the caching. If you did that, now you have a PeerDist caching node. And yeah, Samba can do some of this, and you know, some of it might be easier with a toolkit. So the RDMA and multi-channel, again, I talked to Metz about this. He's got a solution that is much faster than what I'm suggesting here. But if you were building a test environment, you wanted to just get things working, you can listen on Ethernet, you can listen on RDMA, and you can MUX and DMUX the multi-channel data coming and going, and then put it back into a TCP packet, and send it up maybe to the local interface, LO0, you know, the local interface. And if Samba, for example, is listening on that, it never has to know that you've been playing games with its packets, right? I think some of this has been tried. So we'll talk about, you know, TCP in, TCP out. That's the easiest way, the LO device. Really, the loopback device makes the most sense for doing a test system. I looked into using the TUN device. There's a little bit of overhead there. You have to deal with the TCP framing, right? But you know, you can present it as a network interface and hide a lot of the dirty work inside that if you want to spend the time to write the extra code. Also gives the opportunity to use a vanity name, because TUN devices are nameable. So you can vanity name it. You can use a separate node. All right, what if you have a node out there that you use as an actual proxy, and then your real server is behind that? Again, the scrubbing comes in. You can do the multi-channel. You can do a variety of other things. But now you have, let's say you did a, and I've seen some embedded boards that could do this. Maybe you have a 10 gig uplink, and then the connections to that node are 1 gig. So you can get more speed out of it that way. Samba would run above that, right? At least that's a step toward getting us toward a more complete implementation. But the thing I like the best, and again, previous conversations today have touched on this, right? Offload engines. So Tom was talking about putting Quick into an offload engine, and I mentioned this to Tom at lunch. You could put a lot of the SMB stack. Remember, the SMB2 documentation, MSSMB2, does a very good job of laying out, this is the syntax, this is the syntax layer, this is the semantic layer, and this is how the state machine works, right? It spreads it all out for you, breaks it down. And you could put a lot of that syntax onto an offload engine, all right? And if you did that, then you don't necessarily need it to come up as TCP anymore. Now you start looking at it and saying, well, what if I've already parsed all this, taken care of the baseline errors, taken care of encryption and decryption, signing, sealing, all of that kind of work, and I've pushed all of my authentication information down into that offload engine so that it has authentication state and can handle all of that. And now what I'm passing up are structures. Not TCP anymore, but the actual structures. Now you can't use Samba as it is anymore above it, but you can have a standardized API that different people can implement in different hardware or in software and provide a already parsed message to the upper layers. And when it comes to the high-speed stuff, again, we've divided that out. There's data bearing and there's metadata, different kinds of work. When it comes to the stuff you have to do with real data, you never have to actually do more than say, okay, we're going to put that into a DMA location on the computer and then use the kernel calls to say, we're just going to splice that to whatever file it's supposed to actually go to. We don't have to bring it into user space to do the reads and writes. So that, you know, that should be a way to make a much faster stack for SMB. All right. So, with that lofty goal in mind, I started writing yet another pile of new code that basically does the parsing and packing at this point, and hopefully the next layer I build on top of it will be the lowest layer of that semantic part of the stack. Just enough to be able to recognize errors, send back error responses that the upper layers never have to see. Okay? That is kind of my goal, is to get those bricks in place so that that could be built, and then figure out how we build the piece on top, right? Or how we take Samba and take away what it doesn't need and put that on top instead, all right? At this point, again, this GitLab repository has some code in it. Jeremy once said to me, he said something very interesting. He said, Chris, you don't write code, you write novels. And one of the things that you will find if you do take a look at this code is that I have a habit of documenting it like crazy. I think the ratio I calculated at one point was something like 70-30. That's 70% documentation, okay, to 30% code. And it's in Doxygen. So it's webbable. And that's basically my presentation. That's what I've got. So how much time? We have plenty of time for questions, I'm sure. Pardon? 15 minutes. Okay. So, hi, Tom.
Hi, Chris. Zambezi. It's a client, not a server, right?
It's both. I'm attempting to be able to provide tools for both.
You're going to put a server on a card?
No, I'm going to put the marshaling and unmarshaling of the messages on the card.
Oh, okay.
Does that make more sense? And that way, if you want quick on the card, and quick goes to this stack does the unmarshaling, whatever, passes up the prepared packet, the prepared structure.
It wouldn't have a client. It wouldn't have a client either. It would just have the transport and marshaling and unmarshaling.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess that helps understand. All right.
So did everybody's clear on what we were just describing is that my goal is not to write a server or a client, but to write the pieces that would let you build that on top.
And so the goal of the card is to do what?
It's an acceleration engine, just like...
Acceleration. Can you please define acceleration?
So, for example, if you were to offload the encryption and decryption to the card, what you're handing it is a structure and a pointer to a block of memory for reads and writes. Okay. Is a pointer to a block of memory, right? And let the card take care of encrypting that the way you described earlier, where you can say, here's my offset, go, and send it out for you. So now your main processor is already going on to whatever other thing it has to do.
Okay, I get it.
That's, you know, part of what it would do. The basic marshaling and unmarshaling would also happen on the card. Or in a driver or in a hybrid of both. So a driver to talk to the card. He's thinking about this.
No, I'm thinking about what you have to do to build such a card. So what you need to do is identify an interface somewhere about two-thirds of the way down the client, above TCP and below SMB. It's going to be somewhere around the SMB framing layer.
Right.
And, you know, there's no existing, quote, API to guide you there.
Bingo, yes.
So that's going to be your hardest part.
And that is exactly, you know, the hardest part I have. The difficulty I face is exactly that. So it's one of these chicken and egg problems. I've found that in order to find that API, I have to start writing code.
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg problem, but the chickens and eggs are going to lead you to a single implementation.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that's always a narrow road that doesn't really lead anywhere. But
you think?
I mean, it's a really interesting idea. It's just like to go sufficiently broad with it, you'll probably have to nail yourself pretty hard up to an existing implementation. And, you know, that will necessarily narrow it. Anyway, I mean, there are similar solutions at other layers.
Yep.
And nobody's ever created one for NFS or SMB that I know of.
Right.
But
I'm into modularization anyway. I like that.
So the place to address that in Linux is the mythical XPRT layer, I think, which SMB's client has never been taught to use, but NFS's does. Mm-hmm. They both sort of reach into that code from time to time for various reasons.
Okay.
But, you know, there's an XDR layer on top of it with NFS, and there's a loosely defined layer on SMB. But that would be the transport engine, the one that's aware of connections and sessions and streams of operations with credits and
message
IDs.
And probably file handles.
No, file handles are a higher layer object.
But again, with file handles, if you have that state below your API level, if you know what the file handle is, that's where you can do things like your... you know, just directly write.
Yeah, the problem is that the file handle has no association to the transport endpoint. So, you know.
It's one of those questions I have to face.
In the SMB protocol, the file handle has an affinity to a session, which in turn maps to an endpoint.
Right.
But, yeah. Could be tricky.
One of the things that Metz pointed out was, you know, you wanting to, that goal of limiting copies and making sure you never, that you can avoid context switches whenever possible. And so one of the goals would be to, you know, for a write operation arrives, you want to take that write operation straight from the DMA memory and put it out to where it goes in whatever file.
Yeah, now you're behaving like a storage adapter, and the problem is your storage layer is above you, so right. You have to reach around it.
Right, so this is where the handling of state, which is a key part of SMB, the handling of state, what state do I need to share, and how do I maintain compatible state between the two layers? That's a very key question. You've identified.
It sucks to be you, doesn't it?
I like a challenge. I've worked for you guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I just think it would, I don't know, if the architecture above you and below you helped, it would be a better outcome. But it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Have you considered opening it up to other protocols like NFS?
I have considered that. It's beyond the scope of my thinking right now. The other thing I've considered doing, I've already talked to people at the SNIA, somebody you know and I know, about working, you know, once I get to the point where I can demonstrate that there's a potential for an API here, be able to work it out with the SNIA and not do it on my own, make it, you know, something where you could throw bricks at me, for example. Which I, you know, appreciate. It's good to be challenged on these things.
Usually these adapters make more sense in client implementations, and they're a real hard sell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then again, some of your application servers, some of the application server configurations that Microsoft recommends to customers are pretty high-end. Yep. Anybody? Usually I get questions about where I get my graphics, but okay. Yes?
You like projects, and it's fun. So I was wondering, does Samba ever participate in intern project?
Yes, there's project? We have Google Summer of Code people, yeah.
I just was interested to
know. So the person to talk to about that, I think, is Kai Bwin. I think he's been running that for the last few years. I don't know what our status is on it right now, but in the past, it was Kai.
Aurelian is a Summer of Code person. He's working on Wireshark, I believe, Aurelian announced. Some interesting tools, some Wireshark sort of analysis tools to drill down on protocol streams. And there have been Summer of Code people. Pavel Shalovsky was a previous Summer of Code. Now he's a Samba team member and a Microsoft employee.
How about that? Samba team member and Microsoft. I was the first. I got what's called an orange badge from Microsoft. Those are the contractor badges. And Andrew Trigil, who started the Samba project, was so tickled by this that he actually borrowed it from me to take a photocopy so he could put it on, you know, he could put it in his scrapbook. So. Yeah.
Why?
So that's a good question. For the last several years, I mean, actually going back, so the question is why? Why would I do such a thing? Going back to like 2006, 2007, I have been working with several companies with different degrees of success, actually, on getting Samba, and you're going to love this, getting Samba to work on top of distributed and clustered file systems. I've done StorNext, GFS2, Gloster, Weka was my previous employer, a few others in there that I've helped with. Before that, I used to do work on WAN acceleration. So people would hire me to come out and explain to them why they could accelerate TCP, they could accelerate NFS, and when they got to SMB, they fell flat on their faces. It didn't work. Why? Why is that, you know, a problem? And the thing is that Samba, being, you know, a very powerful tool, is also a monolith. And even though we can do things like the VFS layer and back-end ID mapping plugins and a variety of other really cool pluggable features, getting Samba to work well with some of these other systems is very often a challenge. And back when Ronnie was in charge of what you're in charge of now, so this is Amitai, and he and Martin are, you know, work on CTDB. When Ronnie was doing that, he actually posted something that said, if your distributed file system doesn't support this, and doesn't support this, and doesn't support this, and isn't called GPFS, then it won't work. I mean, that's how specific it was. And it still is. It's still a challenge. And very often, the challenge here is that the people implementing the file systems have got no idea of what they need to support in order to make sure the Windows semantics are correct. And if the Windows semantics aren't correct, you can have some serious problems. All right? And especially in an environment we are also sharing with macOS and, you know, Linux, POSIX, BSD, and perhaps websites and such. Even he wants the microphone. So these have all been challenges to me, and this is my venting. This is my way of saying, this is what I want to do to get better at
it. So the Windows semantics are quite well documented.
Yes, they are.
In a thick document. It's not easy to consume, as one can imagine.
Yes.
But they are thoroughly documented and tested as well, I might mention.
And you are quite right on that. And I would not argue about that for an instant.
Okay.
The problem is convincing people who have only worked in a Linux environment, who have just built the grand, glorious file system that will solve all the problems of the universe, that they need to have extended attributes, please.
Yeah.
Right? it's very hard to convince them of that. And without that, you now wind up in a situation where you can't manage access controls, right? Especially linking them between, you know, the multiple environments, right?
File systems are hard and complex.
Yes, they are.
So,
yes, they are.
You know, boohoo. You know,
I understand that, but you know, I get hired to come in and make it go.
Well, right.
Right. So, and yeah, I think we're in violent agreement here.
If you want arguments for xadders, you know, NFS might come in handy as well. Anyway.
And that's how we do it in Samba. It's just that we use xadders because that's what works.
Well, right. But NFS has the concept as well, and applications
right.
consume them, therefore, remotely. So.
We're running out of time. Not my fault, though.
So I have an idea for the next project.
Yeah?
Can you guess?
You want me to rewrite CTDB?
No.
What do you got in mind?
Well, Windows semantics.
Windows semantics?
File server.
Oh, yeah.
File system.
Yeah. It's already brewing. Key value stores are amazing things. Have you looked into the modern key value store environment? Not just so much more, but let's be able to use them.
Well, right, everybody wants to use them.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.